Oftentimes, in the world in which we live, we are asked to listen to something. Maybe it's a commercial, or maybe it's some type of presentation. But in order to do this successfully, we have to listen and take note of what is being said. In the Old Testament, in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 22 and verse 29, the record says, "O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord." This term, "hear the word of the Lord," is used over 36 times in the Old Testament. And it appears in the book of Jeremiah on 15 different occasions. The sinful condition of the people in God's or in the days of Jeremiah proves the necessity for repetition. The prophets, the priests, even the kings were all corrupt. In Jeremiah 5 and verse 31, we read that the prophets prophesy falsely, the priests rule by their own power, and my people love to have it so. But what will you do in the end? This statement, "and my people love to have it so," this is a really sad commentary on the people. They were getting what they wanted. In Jeremiah 6 and verse 13, "because from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness, from the prophet even to the priest, everyone deals falsely." And then in Jeremiah 23 and verse 14, "also I have seen a horrible thing in the prophets of Jerusalem. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They also strengthen the hands of evildoers so that no one turns back from his wickedness. All of them are like Sodom to me, and her inhabitants like Gomorrah." In reality, God had been forgotten by them. In Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 13, we read, "for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." In verse 27, we read, "saying to a tree, you are my father, and to a stone, you gave birth to me. For they have turned their back to me and not their face. But in the time of their trouble, they will say, arise and save us. But where are your gods that you made for yourselves? Let them arise, if they can save you in the time of trouble, for according to the number of your cities are your gods, O Judah." We know what a terrible situation existed in the city or in the people of Judah during this time period. But you say, what is this cistern's business here? Well, a cistern is defined as a tank that is for storing water, especially one supplying taps or as part of a flushing toilet. It differs from a well significantly in that it holds captured rainwater as opposed to tapping into underground water sources as do wells. I remember seeing these firsthand in the city of Pompeii. Of course, this city was destroyed by a volcano that erupted. But in the middle of houses, you could still observe how the pool was made to kind of, I guess, incline into the middle, all the middle, and it went into a hole. And under that hole was this great big cistern. And it would hold the water, and of course it could be pumped out and used for drinking and other purposes. But you can see the importance, though, of it being watertight. These broken cisterns, though, were chosen over living waters. In other words, they weren't talking about cisterns. They were talking about rejecting living water, which flowed from God, incidentally. They had turned their back on God. Adultery was something that was common amongst the people. In Jeremiah 5 and verses 7 and 8, he said, "How shall I pardon you for this? For your children have forsaken me and sworn by those that are not gods. When I had fed them to the full, then they committed adultery and assembled themselves by troops in the harlots' houses. They were like well-fed, lusty stallions. Every one neighed after his neighbor's wife. Eyes full of adultery. And they didn't see anything wrong with it. They didn't see anything wrong with it. In fact, they assembled by troops. In other words, not just one at a time, but a whole bunch of them at the house of the harlots. To say the least, they were perpetually backsliding. Jeremiah 8 and verse 5 says, "Why has this people slidden back?" Jerusalem in a perpetual backsliding. They hold fast to deceit. They refuse to return. The word perpetual literally means never ending or never changing. I'm reminded of an illustration, and I don't remember who the preacher was that used this. He's probably gone to his reward by now, but he left this with me, and I'm going to share it with you. He said, "No better illustration can be given of perpetual backsliding than watching a drive of cattle across a river and then up a muddy bank." He says, what you have here is a problem contributing more to the problem. They get up just so far and then the cows slide right back down again. The next one comes along, he's all wet. He gets on and he slides back. And they just slide and slide and slide and slide. And they don't make it up the hill. And he said, that's what God's talking about here. They actually had refused to repent. They continued in their evil pursuit as a horse would charge into battle. In Jeremiah 6, I'd like you to look at Jeremiah 6 and verse 16. "Thus says the Lord, stand in the way and ask for the old paths where the good way is and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls." Now I want you to notice God didn't say, look around and see where everybody's going and go that way. No, he didn't say that. He told them to stand in the way and see where is the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. They defied God. I mean, I don't know what else to say. Looking on down at Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 6. I listened and I heard, but they do not speak aright. No man repented of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his own course, listen to it, as the horse rushes into battle. What a terrible situation. And then the text of Jeremiah 22, verses 24 through 30, you find Jeremiah sounding the death knell of Judah. Read with me, if you will, and see what I mean. As I live, says the Lord, though Caniah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, were the signet on my right hand, yet I would pluck you off. I will give you into the hand of those who seek your life, and into the hand of those whose face you fear. The hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and the hand of the Chaldeans. So I will cast you out. And your mother who bore you into another country where you were not born. And there you shall die. But to the land which they desire to return, there they shall not return. Is this man Caniah? A despised, broken idol, a vessel in which there is no pleasure? Why are they cast out, he and his descendants, and cast into a land which they do not know? O earth, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord. Now listen. Write this man down as childless, a man who shall not prosper in his days. For none of his descendants shall prosper, sitting on the throne of David and ruling Judah anymore. Do you hear that? This is a terrible, terrible thing that he says here about the household of Caniah. Sitting on David's throne and ruling will not happen anymore to a son of Caniah. You want to know why that's important? Look at the lineage of Jesus. Who do you find in there? Caniah. In other words, Jesus cannot sit on a throne of David and prosper and rule anymore in Judah. Whoa, hold a minute now. I thought Christ was supposed to be on David's throne and rule. And no, that's not what the prophecies are talking about. The ruling is where he is right now, at the right hand of God the Father. He's not ruling on David's throne, not sitting in literal Jerusalem here on earth. This is the cutting off altogether of Israel. Now, why? That's the question. What is the basic reason for this condemnation? They refused to hear God's word. There it is. Jeremiah 13 and verse 10. This evil people who refuse to hear my words, who follow the dictates of their hearts and walk after other gods to serve them and worship them, shall be just like this sash, which God told the prophet to take and to bury it along the shoreline and then to go back and get it, and it was ruined. He said, that's it. They're profitable for nothing. Wow. You notice I didn't include all that in the lesson because you've already read that. Haven't you? Okay. I can tell who has. I see smiles on your faces. Today, the destruction awaits those who refuse to hear God's word. Turn over to Acts 3 with me and read verses 22 and 23. Moses truly said to the fathers, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatsoever he says to you, and it shall be every soul that will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people." You read the context. It's Jesus he's talking about. Yeah. Then 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. "To give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." He still feels the same way. Still feels the same way. "As in the days of Jeremiah, there are many voices that are clamoring to be heard today. In Jeremiah's day, there were false prophets and priests and idolatry and wicked kings. In today's world, the voices of Catholicism, denominationalism, liberalism, sensualism, secular humanism, compromise, and many, many more. Yet the demand from God is still the same as it was in the days of Jeremiah. Hear the voice of my word. And the term hear, that's a weird word. It has many uses. Have you noticed that? Here has many different uses. Here, well, let's think of one. One of them would be the perception of sounds when the source is not visible. In Acts 9 and verse 7, the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice. Notice it didn't say words. Hearing a voice, but seeing no one. And then again in John 12, 27, 28, "Now my soul is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it." Here are two cases where the voice is heard without seeing the person. Does this happen today? Yeah. Sometimes I leave XM radio on my phone and forget it and slip it in my pocket. And I start, where's that coming from? And then suddenly, oh yeah, that's my pocket. My pocket's singing to me. But anyway, we understand that. The next use of the word hear is to perceive by the ear what is spoken while in one's presence. Again, Acts 22 and verse 9. Those who were with me indeed saw the light and were afraid, but they did not hear the voice of him who spoke to me. Again, the hearing here was limited to the person who the speech was directed at. Might be, for instance, well, we were at Ronald Reagan yesterday at the museum, and people had headphones on, and they could hear things that you couldn't hear unless you had headphones on. But that's the idea. The next one is to get by hearing or to learn from the mouth of a teacher or some type of orator. In Matthew 10, verse 27, whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, here's a specific case, preach on the housetops. This is a case in point. The next one is to find out, to learn by the hearing of others. In Matthew 11, verse 2, when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. John, he didn't hear Christ. He heard about him. But he sent two of his disciples to find out. Then, to listen or hear attentively. Now, we want to look at this. Look at Luke 19 with me, verses 47 and 48. And he was teaching daily in the temple, but the chief priests and scribes and leaders of the people sought to destroy him and were unable to do anything, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. We also find that hearing means to comprehend, to understand. Mark 4 and verse 33, with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. Okay? Then we come down to yielding to hear and obey, or to heed. Now, this is one of them that we really like, because what we find in Acts 3:22 is Moses had said, the Lord God will raise up a prophet for you. Him you shall hear in all things. Now, what are you supposed to do with this hearing? Whatever he says to you, that's what you hear. And it shall be that every soul that does not hear, how? Well, hear and do is implied. That will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. However, it is not my intention this morning to speak considering all different types of hearing, but rather to be concerned with the hearing that is attentive, that is understood, and necessarily obeyed. Now, what is it that we're to hear? Well, obviously, the word of God, the word of the Lord. Where do you hear that? Jeremiah had a great task, just as we also have today. He was to introduce the people to hearing God's word rather than hearing the voice of false prophets. He was inducing people to refrain from hearing man's words and man's ideas and concentrate upon hearing God. In Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 16 and 17, Jeremiah says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you to make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. They continually say to those who despise me, 'The Lord has said, you shall have peace.' And to everyone who walks according to the dictates of his own heart, they say, 'No evil shall come upon you.'" Moving on down to verse 21. "I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied." Now, down to verse 25. "I have heard what the prophets have said who prophesy lies in my name, saying, 'I have dreamed, I have dreamed.' How long will this be in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies? Indeed, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, who try to make my people forget my name by their dreams, which everyone tells his neighbor, as their fathers forgot my name for Baal. The prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream. And he who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is chaff to the wheat, says the Lord?" This afternoon, we're going to consider the fact that this problem did not cease with Jeremiah, but it continued down through the ages.